I miss Barcelona so much.
Remember when we lived in Barcelona?
I remember. I missed the no air conditioning.
In Moises's
the one like full size bed that we shared. We weren't allowed to put our stuff out of the room.
We're
we didn't know that.
Such large people too. And that bed was not big enough for one of us, much less both of us at the same time.
Plus, like,
no covers. It was 140
degrees. We had the windows open, and like, we were so tired. The neighbors were cooking dinner till midnight.
Dude, but the freaking paella.
I have a friend in downtown Knoxville.
Yeah.
His name is Raul, and he's from Spain, Valencia.
Nice. That's Valencia is down south, right?
Yeah, it's on the coast, I believe. And okay. I could be wrong with that, but I'm pretty sure. So if Miguel's listening to this and he's like, Thomas, slow down. You talk so fast. That's probably what he's saying right now. But
does Miguel listen to this podcast?
I don't think so. I'm sorry, Miguel. I think he does. I know really? That him and Rebecca have before.
Well, I can see Rebecca listening to the podcast, but I don't know that Miguel really... Do you think he listens to the podcast? Hi, Rebecca.
No sé, pero... Eres muy guapo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a very handsome guy.
Yeah.
We love him and Rebecca. But he... So, in every time... If I'm ever working downtown Knoxville, Raul, he'll come talk to me and we'll just have conversations. And he's this like 65-year-old Spanish guy and just talk to me about paella. But anyways, do you remember when we lived there? I fell asleep mid-conversation in a booth during lunch. I don't know if you remember that or not. It's the first time I've ever done something that you've done to me.
What?
First time I've ever done that. I've never fallen asleep mid-conversation before. I'm very much a
You have a
FOMO
number of very close guy. Friends who have fallen asleep mid-conversation with you. I mean, you roomed with Cam for a while.
The amount of pictures I have on my phone of Cameron Gregg, lights on, computer on his lap, asleep, watching a show.
Poor Cam.
Headphones in, just like full volume. Like, dude, this is not... I've started a lot of rumors about Cam, and one of them is that he's narcoleptic, and it's like possible, you know.
He's definitely close.
He's borderline.
The really interesting thing is when you think about how easily I fall asleep and how easily Cam falls asleep, that Devo let Cam and me lead a cabin together at Young Life Camp for 3 years in a row, and like those
guys. Who
knows
what those guys?
I know those guys could have done anything.
Who knows?
There are probably legendary stories of them sneaking out immediately after the lights turned out because you know we were both asleep so fast.
Bam. Cam is the most sleepy person I've ever met.
And if we were to suggest this to Cam right now, he would be like, and then he would just start nodding his head. Yeah, probably.
Okay, so we got prompted to use our platform.
Oh, do we have a platform?
Yeah, there's like 10 people who listen, I think. So they're probably like, go platform. But
I think you consider that. If there are more people listening than there are hosts, then that's probably a platform.
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on the week. But
that's probably true.
So someone I love dearly, like we had a conversation about flossing our teeth.
Okay.
And this person who will be left nameless and genderless as well, does not floss their teeth a ton. And the other person flosses their teeth a lot. And I'll let you figure out who does both. Who's who.
Well, I know that you are very meticulous about hygiene. So I have lived with you in Barcelona.
Mm.
You do floss your teeth.
Yes. Well, like it's more of a recent thing because you have said to me before,
you should floss the ones that you want to keep,
which is all of them.
Yeah.
One of us in this room is cavityless in their career.
Easy.
I'm a recent convert to flossing. Although there was at one point in my life,
I can't believe you brought that.
There was one point in my life where I like in order to prove a point to a dentist, I flossed every day for 6 months because I just had a theory that they always tell you to floss more. And he was like, you should probably floss a little more. And I was like, I can't. I did it every day.
Unless I were to floss the entire day.
You know, like, gosh. But this person was like, yeah, I don't floss. What? You should. And then this person said, you should poll people on your thing that you do with the microphones.
Okay. I floss every day.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you, dear listener, floss every day? We'd like to know. If you have a way to contact us, ancientandnewpodcast@gmail.com. That's ancient and A-N-D-N-E-W.
Do you ever check that email?
Occasionally.
I don't have access to it.
No.
I don't know why I would need it. It's not me asking for it.
Ancientandnewpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you just have contact with us on social media in some other way,
be it
Twitter, Instagram, text.
We want to know.
Facebook Messenger.
Listen, I'll be frank with you. I don't floss every day.
I
would
floss,
say 4 days a week.
Look, I'm going to be frank as well. I started flossing because my wife basically forced me to.
She's like, get back in there.
Yeah. She'd be like, so, did you floss? And I'll be like, you know, not tonight. She's like, okay. And then like a few minutes later, she'd be like, So you're cool with the bacteria, like just
hanging out in between your teeth.
I was like, you know, for tonight, I'm going to be okay with it. She's like, cool. And then a few minutes later, she'd be like, so, you know, they're just eating. And then I'm like,
this whole time,
let me just go floss.
This whole time you're falling asleep mid conversation. She's just like, Lee, get up. She's like, Lee, I don't want you to have a root canal ever. Which, what does that word come from? The only thing I can think of when I hear the word root canal is the country of Panama for some reason.
What?
Because it's the Panama Canal. I don't understand.
Just
your wife loves you. She doesn't want you to
full Teddy Roosevelt. Do you think Cam Gregg flosses every day?
Cam's very like to your surprise, probably he brushes his teeth as much as I do.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of brushing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Thomas. Thomas takes like 4 showers every day.
Okay, that has changed since recent. But I like to shower. I like to do the teeth. I brush my teeth anytime I'm at my house and I'm about to leave. So, like a lot of times,
I can see that.
Sometimes twice before I go to work in the morning. Definitely warrant.
It's funny because people mess with you about your hair and stuff, but
people
you
mess
are
with
so
me about my hair.
Hygienic.
People,
you know,
people mess with me about my hair.
Yeah, people have recently
people
messed with you.
I like my hair.
Your hair's wonderful.
What?
But
this
people,
is news to me.
No, it's not. You're this the one who told me. Some people have unkindly said things to you about, you know, having the type of job that you have now.
Mm-hmm.
And then asking you, are you going to get a haircut and stuff like that? Come on, I'm not making this up. Somebody else said this to you.
Someone today asked me, so what are you going to do with your hair for your wedding?
Yeah.
I was like, it's going to be just like this. And they're like, awesome. That's so cool. And I was like, yeah, good. My fiance loves my hair.
Right.
Which I'm great with.
So that is, I just think it's interesting that you are like the multi-shower, many, many, many times a day brushing teeth guy.
Mm-hmm. We should start the show.
Welcome to Ancient and New, this is a Bible study podcast.
Sorry for the longest intro and instrumental.
Everything's fine.
Intro. I don't want to be the podcast that we use our platform to like preach about flossing, but we did today.
In Psalm 39.
Oh, you're going to start first.
Yeah, is that cool? I think you started first last time.
I don't recall. I try to live in the moment that I'm in.
Typically, though, no
I don't.
Matter who
I don't
starts
try to.
First,
I try to live. In, come on, I was trying to be annoying, but you didn't. You just made it sound really pretentious. You didn't mess with me about it.
I'm not going to do
Dang
that.
Dang it. I mean, honestly, to be frank with you, I tried. I honestly.
We have said to be frank more than we've ever said in this show.
That was my grandfather's name.
Psalm 39. At the very end of the psalm, it says this really cool thing. By the way, David wrote this psalm. And
thanks,
for,
David.
And he wrote it for a guy named Jeduthun, which, like, I'd go by Jed if that was my name.
Is this the most ridiculous we've ever been?
I'm just saying if I was called Jeduthun.
Hey, Jeduthun. Just saddle up the horses.
Just say Jed. Just say Jed.
What if he went by like Thun? I know a guy named Thorn. That's pretty close to that.
Verse 12 of Psalm 39 says this. Does anybody still listen to this show?
No, everyone's logged off.
Everybody's logged off.
They've all swiped up.
Even
the thing where they
even the
cancel,
Big Papa.
Cancel.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Be not deaf to my weeping. This is the cool part that I wanted to focus on. He said, for I dwell with you as an alien, a stranger, as all my fathers were. This is such an interesting little moment in this psalm that it's not just that this is a constant theme in scripture, that the people of God are aliens, that we're like foreigners here in this world. We belong in a different world. Like even if we have a home country, even if we have a hometown, there's a sense in which we are still homeless because we're going to a different home. And there's just something. And so that's not new to me. There's Psalm 84 has this great thing about people who set their hearts on pilgrimage. Peter in his first letter talks about this idea of us being aliens and strangers. This was Abraham's MO. This was the writer of the book of Hebrews talks about, you know, the way that he felt as like, even when he got to the promised land, he was like, nah, this ain't it. You know, I'm looking for a city whose architect and builder is God. This is a constant theme of ours as believers, but David puts a little wrinkle in this version of it right here. And he says, hear my prayer, O Lord, listen to my cry for help. Be not deaf to my weeping, for I dwell with you as an alien, as a stranger, as all my fathers were. And, it's like, not only am I a pilgrim here, but God is a pilgrim with me. And I mean, that, I don't know why that hit me as so cool. I mean, do you think that's cool?
Yeah, it's like cool. I've never thought of that before.
I never had either, but like,
I didn't think that's where you were going to go with this. Well, so it kind of like caught me off guard.
It's just an interesting moment because it's like, wait a minute. Not only am I an alien and a stranger in this world, but like he's experiencing it that way too, even though he made the world. Mm. He made all of the, you know, the law of gravity, laws of thermodynamics and everything. Like he made everything that makes this place. And then it fell and all that kind of stuff. But like he doesn't belong either. Mm. And there's something really, really sweet about that. That like not only am I an alien and stranger in this world, but he's a stranger with me. He's an alien first. David says, for I dwell with you as an alien, a stranger as all my fathers were. There's a sense in which everybody who loves Jesus, you'll never really be at home here. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't be, because this world cannot fill you up. It cannot be the answer. It cannot be what you need it to be. And that the Lord is with you in that, mm-hmm. even though he's the king of the world, he's the king of the universe, he's the maker of everything, and that he would also be like an alien. There's just something about that little wrinkle in the way that David wrote this that just, it was just like a really, it made me feel like a solidarity with the Lord. It made me feel like, man, we're in this together in our alienness.
I've been thinking about this a lot. I think just with the way stuff is right now, and I think I get afraid that thought can be a cop out, and it which it can be, like in my life specifically, if I'm not careful, I can just say, well, I don't really belong here anyway, like I'm going home, which is a great thought, right? Like this idea is a great thought,
right?
It doesn't exclude us from the fact that we are here. And we have people to love and reach out to and to try to bring with us, you know, like, so I think, yeah. I mean, that's just my little wrinkle on this, because I do think that a lot. And if I'm not careful, I'll just say, screw it. I don't belong here. I'm going to go do the thing I like. I'm going to go fish, you know, or like whatever, like not it, that just popped in my head. That's not what I usually think when I go fishing, but like, you know, great. I don't belong here. I don't fit in. That's why today didn't make sense. That's why I didn't go my way. And it can become this thing where I'm like, I use it as a pity party for myself.
Okay.
When instead it should be like, hey, don't y'all realize it? We don't belong here. We don't belong here. Yeah. Let me tell you about, you know, like, let me witness to you, whatever. I'm not, that came out of a deep place.
Let me draw your attention to the idea that there's a better world.
Right. You know, exactly.
That there's another thing that you where in which you would be at home.
Right. And instead of it being a pity party for me, it should be like a secret that I have in my back pocket.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, just okay. Like okay. A, I'm resonating like a, with that.
Yes. Like a, just a little friendly reminder. And like, it can be an inside joke, I think, sometimes. Just, I don't belong here.
And the way that David, like, okay, I love the way that you said, like, a secret I have in my back pocket. And, but it's not just, I want to carry that idea further to be like, it's an inside joke in my friendship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. When this world is horrible and when it doesn't fit, when it doesn't work, it's like, oh, this is our inside joke. Like, because you're an alien with me and I'm an alien with you, mm-hmm. a stranger, as all my fathers were. Like not only is this a secret I carry in my pocket, but it's a secret that the Lord laughs with me at. Like, right. Yeah, of course that thing went sideways. Mm-hmm. Like, this world sucks. Yeah. And we're not home yet. And as you said, like, let's get as many people out of here as we can. Mm. Let's point as many people as we can toward some real life, because we're surrounded by so much fake life, so much lame life. And I just love this idea that, like, not only am I a stranger and an alien, but he's an alien with me.
Mm. That's cool. I think it's something that we should think about more. And I don't know. It's helpful for me and it's harmful if I'm not careful. I'm glad I've learned that in myself lately. You know, it's just been like a recent discovery or whatever. Right. It's funny, like, being engaged and thinking about, like, things right now to me are more scary than they've ever been. And it's because I am about to get married, I think. Like, the other day I took a plane somewhere for work and I was like, I've never been this nervous to fly. Just like, oh gosh, what if it blows up and I don't get married?
See, they should have let you watch Isle of Dogs. You
would have, I would have wept. It's the best movie ever. But just like silly things like that, I'm like, I've never been afraid to fly. And like, it's funny, like, I'm having to catch myself, like, I'm so excited to get married, and I'm really excited about it. I'm so excited. I've been waiting for this forever, and I found the perfect person, and that we've worked really hard to do this with, and, like, it's going to be awesome. And
yes, it is.
It's become this thing, though, in my head where I'm like, that's it. Like, that's it, you know, like... I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm having to catch myself because it's changing a lot of things that I think about. And, there's been a couple times where I've had to catch myself and be like, okay, this is going to be amazing and it's going to be wonderful. Yet it's still not the thing. Like,
that's right.
You still have like a life of eternity in paradise with the Lord where you're going to be whole for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Like, that's still going to happen. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm making any sense right now. And it's probably just annoying to hear a guy talking about getting married all the time. I'm so excited.
It's where you are.
Yeah. It's where I am. I don't know if that made any sense. I've tried to be less apologetic the older I've gotten about myself. And I've gotten a lot better at it. So every once in a while when it happens, please forgive me, people who listen to this. It's like my old self coming out. Okay. I've been doing the 1-year Bible, and I told you this already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
That's cool.
We're gonna...
Are you digging it?
Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah. I really like it. It's just really cool. I'm someone who likes, like, once I get in a rhythm of something, I'm like, let's go.
I started doing the 1-year Bible in 2000, uh-huh. and it was like, oh, yeah, I'll be at home in this for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. I took your 1-year Bible in 2012.
Yeah, I did it through... 2008.
So yeah.
I think it had already been retired for a few years.
I borrowed it in 2012 from Lee and made it halfway through, and then I wrecked a canoe and lost it.
that's where it went down?
Yeah. I bought you a new one, and then it got attacked by the mold.
Oh.
Yeah. I was a senior in high school.
But my original one's in Davy Jones' locker?
Yeah, it's somewhere in Kentucky right now. cool. So this is from Genesis 22.
Nice. Oh, wow.
I'm going to read a little bit. Skip a little bit and read a little more. And I don't have like a... I do kind of, but we'll see. So,
this is a classic.
Yeah, this is nuts. And if you've been around the church, you've heard this in one way or another at some point, but it's just a it's a story that I often don't think about, but it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I tell you about. I'm going to skip a little bit. It says, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son, Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. They do the thing. He builds the altar. They tie him up. And it says, he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham said, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. It's so crazy. It's so crazy. And the only thing I could think about the whole time I was reading it was just, and it's so trivial, was just the only son thing. It kept coming up. The son you love, the only one.
Yeah.
You got to go kill him. And I also thought about Isaac the whole time. I was just like, there's no, what's he doing this whole time? They don't talk about him kicking and screaming and stuff.
It's
but
so
I'm like,
interesting because he, like, when I was a little kid, I remember watching, they used to have this cartoon. It was kind of made in an anime style called Superbook, about different Bible stories. Have you ever heard of Superbook?
No.
It was a classic. Superbook. Okay.
That doesn't jar any memories.
All the people my age are in, okay. But all the Baptists. But in Superbook, like, Isaac was, you know, like a little kid. But like in Genesis 22, it clearly says that Isaac like carried the wood. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a strong young man. This is not a 6-year-old. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like, this is like a 16-year-old. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so like, this is, this is like a teenager or a late teens kid, and not like a little kid. That's just like, sure, right. Dad, wherever you say, you know, like this is a kid that's thinking like, wait, what are we doing?
Right. It's so interesting. I'm like, I'm always wrapped up, and I've said this before when talking about Joseph in the New Testament, but Abraham's response to the Lord is always just like, here I am. Yeah. I love it. I love it. I looked up the word for it, and it was so cool. I don't remember what it was, and that's what I get for remembering that I looked it up. But I don't know. It's always been so interesting to me. Anytime a man of God does that, it's just like, here I am. Like, that's their response to him. It seems like it, in one way or the other, it seems to happen, whether those are the exact words, but it seems to be a thing, a recurring theme. I also, like, I just had a thought too, where it, like, the Lord says to him, like, I can tell that you fear me. And I kind of like panicked a little bit when I read it. I was like, wait, are you, you're not asking me to like prove this to you, but going to kill my son, are you? You know, it was so interesting, like,
yeah,
that this was a thing. And then I remembered the thing that our pastor said. He's talked about it before, where he referred to the Lord and his thing with Jesus, and like Abraham and his thing with Isaac, and it was like someone knew, like one person knew. This is what this was like.
Yeah, because Abraham was called the friend of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that friendships are built through shared experiences.
Yeah, and it's so...
It's like the whole philosophy behind Young Life Camp.
I know. I read it, and I had, like, my things when I was going to it. Like, yeah. I got excited when I saw the Here I Am thing.
Yeah.
And I got excited when I remembered that Abraham kept saying, like, he's going to provide, he's going to provide, he's going to take care of it. And then a couple verses later, it talks about how there's a ram with its like horns stuck in a bush, and they go and get it and they kill it. And like, he did, like, he provided the thing to do it with.
But when the Lord sacrificed his own son, his one and only son, who he loved,
mm-hmm.
there was no lamb. Mm-mm. Jesus was the Lamb of God.
No, and I was just...
Nobody stopped the spear, you know?
I know. I was just wrapped up in it. And I, for some reason, this year has been a year, like the past calendar year has been a year of me just remembering things and like having things to remember throughout the year and like promises the Lord has made and or has come through on or like answered prayers or whatever, and just having moments in my day randomly in random weeks for no reason at all where he has reminded me like, hey, remember this thing that I did for you? Like, and I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. And I was just enthralled at the idea of this happening thousands of years before Jesus came. And it was just such a cool parallel thing. And they're different, yeah, obviously. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was like a, it's just the thing, the Sally Lloyd Jones thing, that like every story is whispering his name. And it felt yeah. like, man, more than ever, this was whispering his name to me.
And some people think like Mount Moriah is like, it's like where the temple was built. It's like, this is all the same, like it's the same spot, you know?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So like where this where this Abraham and Isaac thing happened, it's like where the temple sacrifices happened, you know, or, you know, it's like near where Golgotha could have been, you know, kind of deal. So, one of the things that I was thinking about when you were reading that was the way the writer of Hebrews breaks this down when he talks about this scene. And he says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested, this is Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned, this is so interesting. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. And he's just like, he was like, well, I don't know what's, I know the promise is coming through Isaac because he already told me that.
Right.
So if he's asking me to do this, he must be able to raise Isaac from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I just think that's a really interesting calculation by Abraham that he's like, I don't understand God, everything about God's powers and everything. But like, I mean, obviously this is the weirdest, most confusing, saddest thing I've ever been a part of. But I guess he's just going to raise him up from the dead.
Right.
So maybe death is just not as final as I think.
Right.
And so I guess I'm going to go for this because I just believe God's words are true.
Right. Like I mean,
God says he's going to make the promise come through Isaac.
Right.
So if I'm going to slay him, I guess he's just going to bring him back from the dead.
Right. And like someone like Abraham too has just, he's just gone through the thing where the Lord has promised him things. And like Abraham was a buffoon who tried to figure it out on his own and did something stupid.
He's like, yeah, he's so like, that doesn't work.
I'll sleep with my younger servant or whatever. You know, it's like, I'll try this on my own. But then like
your Abraham impression is awesome.
I think probably what he sounded like.
you think he listens to this podcast?
Don't at me. Probably, he's probably like eating his popcorn up there. Like,
I love that. It's always popcorn.
But like Abraham, someone who firsthand had recent interactions with the Lord where the Lord had said to him, I'm going to do this for you. And then he did it.
Yeah.
And it's just like
impossible things.
Right. Impossible things.
Yeah. A 90-year-old woman has a baby. And so he's like, yeah, I mean, I guess if he's asking me to do the hardest, most confusing thing, I guess death is just not that final.
Right.
And I love the thought of that calculation. Like when I tried to figure it out on my own, it was such a complete train wreck. And so I think I'm just going to do what he's asking me to do. Cause I think just death is not what I thought it was.
Right.
And that is so delicious to me that like somebody gets to the point in their faith where they've come to the end of themselves enough, exactly as you've said, I've screwed this up my own way so many times. I guess I'll just go with God's way, as ridiculous as it sounds. Cause I guess he can just raise people from the dead. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's awesome. I don't think like that yet. I'm trying to.
Same.
I think the place I'm starting at out of this, which I do every time I read it, is I want to be a person who, like, God's voice, I don't hear it. I never have.
Right.
Maybe I will one day and on earth. I don't know. I don't know many people who have or who claim to have.
Yeah.
And the people who do have a lot of money to go along with it, which, like, you know. But I'm sure he can. He can do whatever he wants. He could start talking to me tomorrow. But in those moments where it's quiet and it's me and him early in the morning and I have my coffee and I have his word out in front of me, I want to start off by saying, here I am. What do you have for me today?
Okay.
What are you going to tell me? What do you want me to do today? When I step out of this door at 7:20 to get in my car to drive to Knoxville,
right?
What is it? What do you have for me? What? And I just, and like so many times in my journal, I just write, here I am. And I don't know what to get from it. I don't know what to expect. But I know that, like...
So funny. I know your handwriting so well at this point that I had an exact image in my mind of what it looks like.
Yeah, you're like, what is that word? Does that say Habersham? What is he saying?
Hennessy?
But I also... Hennessy. Our first alcohol reference of the day. I also don't want to be surprised when I get to the end of the day. And I don't want to forget the fact that I'm saying this to him. And like,
yeah.
I want to have times where I reflect and I think to myself and I take moments. And like I said last week, like search my heart when I'm going to bed at night. And I think I start out my day today by saying, here I am, Lord, what do you want from me? What do you have for me? And then I want to look when I go to sleep at night, I want to look back and say, what were those moments where it was clearly him saying, here you go. This is what I have for you.
I think what you're talking about is the heart of discipleship, and I think it's really attractive.
Thank you. Are you one of those people who talks negatively about my hair? Is that?
No, I love
your
hair.
Okay.
I'm jealous.
Thanks.
I wish I had all
this. I thought you were just.
I'm losing my
hair. I thought you were just fading your beard at me by saying, I think that's really attractive.
No.
People don't know. I just use a verb that's an inside joke.
Inside joke with us.
As a verb. People are like,
fading your beard. That's beautiful.
That's cool.
No, I wish I had all the follicles you have.
You have a full head of hair.
Not back here, big guy.
That's not true. Hey. As someone who can see down on that angle because I'm a giant, it is totally fine.
We love you guys. Thanks for encouraging us.
Thank you.
You guys are seriously so encouraging. Thank you. Thanks for starting 2019 in a beautiful way.
What's that now? What year?
2020.
That's it, 2019. Roll it back.
I'm still writing 2019. I did it this morning when I was Friday when I was typing out our set list for church. I was like, I typed out 2019.
2019.
I was like, shoot, 2019. I do that for like a month.
Oh.
So I only type the current month for like 11 months.
I always date my journal entries.
Yeah.
So I did like January 7th, 20120. Because I started right 2019 and I just.
You put the year on every page.
2120. Yeah.
You could only need to put the year at the beginning of the journal.
No. 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 This is not right. This is not correct. No. I use like 14 journals a year. Are you kidding?
And you don't need to do the year on every page.
I like it. This is the way I do it. Lee, I am a creature of habit. This is the way I do this. It's not changing. And you can woodpecker all you want over there.
You did another verb that's an inside joke.
Maddie's the only one who got that, and she didn't laugh.
No.
She was just like, oh my gosh, you turned me into an inside joke.
We love you guys so much. I am Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
I don't have the strength unless you get me in. And God, don't let me go. Selling out on who I am when you have bought me for your own. And God, don't let me think I'm not. You are talk to me to fix it when you alone can mend and heal. And God, don't let me quit. Jesus, I don't have the strength unless you give me it.
We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed.
I don't have the strength unless you give me it.
But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved.